Hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, June 11th, 2010. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. How's everybody doing today? Hope you're having a great week. Just a quick shout out and hello to everyone who's having a wonderful time in Southern California at the Southern California Genealogy Jamboree. That's one of the big three events of the year in the genealogical community, and I know that several hundred of you are having a marvelous time. Also, I'll give a quick shout out to my friend Lisa Lee. I know that she's speaking. I hope her presentation goes well, as I'm sure it probably will. But everyone that I've been reading comments from so far have been making some good remarks. I've gotten a couple of emails as well and just want to just wish you all the best. I know that it's going through this week, going through this weekend, and I hope that you all are having a wonderful time at the Southern California Genealogy Jamboree. Anyway, a number of things are going up. Here we are in the middle of June. Can you believe it? Oh, wow. So many things are going on. And actually, this weekend, in different parts of the country, some cities are starting their Juneteenth celebrations a bit early. I know that there's a big event coming up this weekend. There's going to be a festival at the riverfront in Fort Smith. There are also going to be some interesting meetings that are going to be taking place, some historical sessions, reenactors of Bass Reeves, a U.S. Deputy Marshal of certainly a lot of fame, the first African-American Deputy Marshal, and some information. I know that there will also be some participation. Verdi Triplett's going to be speaking about the Freedmen communities in eastern Oklahoma and sharing a bit of history there to some people. And this is all coming up this weekend in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Also, coming up, wow, there are a lot of just events that are underway. In Little Rock, Arkansas, there's going to be a particular event that would be of interest to people who have an interest in Arkansas, African American history, at the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center. You might remember back in May, the Mosaic Templars held a two-day African-American genealogy symposium, and it was free to the public. So they're continuing their mission to educate and bring a lot of rich cultural offerings to the greater community. This session's coming up tomorrow on June 12th, Profiles in Arkansas Black History, African-American Schools, A Legacy to Remember. Now, this is going to be a workshop that will be chronicling historic African-American people who were educators in particular. And there are going to be several individuals and actually several panels that are going to be taking place. One is on Arkansas Teachers Association and School Administrators. And that should be pretty interesting. I think it's going to talk about who some of the well-known African-American educators were and the administrators prior to integration. And then the merger of the ATA, which was really an African-American organization, with the Arkansas Education Association. And this happened in 1969 when the two organizations merged. There are going to be some other educational related topics, including looking at the Rosenwald Training in Agricultural Schools. And many of you may recall, those of you who went to schools in the 40s and the 50s, that many schools received funding from the Rosenwald Foundation to build better schools. This was in the days when the schools were segregated. And this should be an interesting session talking about the Rosenwald schools in the state of Arkansas. Also, there's going to be a session focusing on the one-room schoolhouses, which I think should be kind of interesting. There were some schools like that that were really multiple grades, but they were one-room buildings, and education still remarkably took place, and there are going to be some retired teachers on that particular panel, which should be quite interesting. Another presentation is going to be made, or a panel discussion, on the church schools, which should really be interesting. A lot of times people think of church schools and think only of parochial schools, particularly Catholic schools, but there were other church-related schools also in the state of Arkansas. There was a manual school, which was a Baptist school that was in Elmira, Arkansas. There was also Cotton Plant Academy in Cotton Plant, Arkansas, which was a Presbyterian school. And of course, there was St. Mary's AME school, which is now, I think, the Eddie Mae Heron Center in Pocahontas, Arkansas. So it's some really interesting things that are going on. And of course, as many who have attended some of the schools like Lincoln High School in Fort Smith or Dunbar School in Dunbar High School. My mother graduated from Dunbar, and up until my mother passed, she was very much involved in the Dunbar Alumni Association. Well, one of the panels is also going to look at school alumni associations as well. This is going to be really a fascinating event. The workshop is free. They do want registration though, and I'll put a link for you as always on the podcast website. Anyway, a lot of things are going on in Oklahoma. Hello to my friends in Oklahoma, to some of my friends with the ETOFA, the Indian Territory and Oklahoma Freedmen Association, the Historical Association, and also to some individuals who are active in the Muscogee Creek Indian Freedmen Band. They're going to have a booth. They're participating in an event, which is the Africa West Festival, which is taking place tomorrow, and from 9 a.m. to 6 a.m. And there are quite a number of individuals who are active genealogists who are in that particular group. So certainly I wanted to mention that as well. I understand that later in the summer, the organization, the officers of the Muscogee Creek Indian Freedmen Band, will be having a genealogy workshop, and I'll be announcing that later in the summer as the weeks are going by. But as I said, a number of other things that are going on. As many of you know, I'm going to be leaving on Sunday. I'm very excited. Day after tomorrow, I am going to be on my way to Birmingham, Alabama. I'm going to be attending the Samford University Institute of Genealogy and Historical Research. I'm participating in the African American track, which is going on. It's going to be 5 full days of genealogy workshops and listening to individuals from whom I've admired them anyway, and know some of the instructors, and some I've admired from a distance, but I'm just excited to be able to have a full week of genealogy. And so this is going to be exciting. This is part of the Samford Institute that many of you know. It goes from the 13th through the 18th. So this is really going to be an exciting time. Next weekend, of course, is Juneteenth. And not enough can be said about that. And I've been posting Juneteenth celebrations on the podcast website that are taking place all over the country. I'm doing the same today as well. And but there are just a number of things that are going on. Here in the Mid-Atlantic area, the Prince George's County, Maryland chapter of AUGS, the African American Historical and Genealogical Society, they will be hosting the Juneteenth program. And this is a full day of African American genealogy workshops, and I think it promises to be an exciting day. I've had an opportunity to attend it in the past. Good workshops. It's a lot of fun. Lunch is provided. So certainly you want to take a look and think about going and participating with that. They're changing their location this year, so you want to pay attention to where it is going to take place. Also, on the 19th of June, the New England African American Historical and Genealogical Society chapter will hold its June meeting at the NARA facility, the National Archives and Records Administration. This is on Trapello Road in Waltham, Massachusetts, and they're going to have an event, their June meeting, starting at 11 a.m. Now, one thing that's really interesting is that the facility itself is opening specifically for the members of the New England Ox chapter. And after the meeting, they're also going to be holding the facility open so participants can use the records to continue researching until closing. So that's kind of a neat thing that they're going to be holding the facility open for individuals who want to do research on that day. Now, for those who are active in the Carolina Piedmont chapter of OGS on the 19th of June, again, they are holding a trip to the Raleigh State Archives. This is in North Carolina, and they're sponsoring a day-long trip to spend some time doing research at the archives in Raleigh. I have had a chance to visit that facility, and it is very, very impressive. And I'm sure that a full day of researching, which I never try to pass up an opportunity like that, I'm sure it will be a productive day for quite a few people who will be out there. Also, some more information that was shared with me on the, again, our friends in Little Rock, the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center. They're holding an event in honor, of course, of Juneteenth, which is going to be an event, a celebration with music as well as film. They're having some screening of some films and some film workshops that they're going to have. And this is in partnership with Respect for Life Radio. And again, like all the events so far that I've talked about at Mosaic Templars, they are free. And the film screening is going to take place all day in the Mosaic Templars Auditorium, which is, of course, a beautiful, beautiful facility in downtown Little Rock. One of the documentaries, which some of you may remember, or maybe you've seen it in a documentary, the dynamic film of the Los Angeles Music Festival. Now, many people, of course, have heard of Woodstock. Well, this was Wattstax, which many people call this the Black Woodstock. And they're going to be featuring that documentary that was back in 1972. So, you know, it was back in the day. But if any of you know anything about Stax Records, you will appreciate it. So if you're in Arkansas, if you're in Little Rock, I think you'd probably want to take advantage and go and watch the screening of that as well. Of course, there are other things that are underway. Juneteenth events are taking place all over the country, and I just hope that you all will be able to participate in them. I could go on and on and on and on and list them. But take a look at some of the links that I'm posting for you also in various parts of the country in honor of Juneteenth. Next Saturday, of course, is the official day of the official Juneteenth celebration. Many people I know have committed themselves to coming online and to just sharing as many things about Juneteenth as possible with their online community, the blogging community. I'm actually going to be traveling that day. I'm going to be traveling back from Birmingham that day, so I'll probably be getting online pretty late since I'm going to be en route back from Samford. But anyway, this is always a wonderful time of the year. We celebrate our freedom. We celebrate emancipation. Those of us with ties to Oklahoma, we celebrate the signing of the Treaty of 1866 as well. And particularly, I would want to point out for those of us with ties, of course, next year, 2011 will be, let's see, I guess it'll be the 145th year of the signing of the Treaty of 1866 that freed many of our ancestors from bondage in Indian Territory as well, that abolished the institution of slavery. But and of course, we've had a tradition in Oklahoma for many, many years of celebrating emancipation also in August, because many places and communities for decades, I think up through the 50s and 60s, would have major events that first weekend in August celebrating it too. But this time of the year is always a season celebrating freedom, and from Juneteenth to the Independence Day to Emancipation Day in August. It's a great time to just sort of appreciate the many things that we have. And I hope you'll be able to participate in some of those activities that are going on. Well, I wanted to talk today in terms of genealogy-wise. This is actually stemming from a conversation that several of us had in one of our online chats. And I wanted to point out that it's very important that we investigate documents as closely as possible, particularly because sometimes we might find that we're looking at an error that was made not necessarily on the document, but it was made perhaps in transcription or the creation of an index. Now you're probably saying, what in the world is she talking about? Well, this came up in a conversation where one of the members had indicated that he was surprised that in an index someone had placed people in this particular community in Berkeley County, South Carolina, as having been born in Nova Scotia. Now, well, it's not impossible that someone in this community could have been born there and eventually ended up there, but not an entire community of people living there where the heads of house were all listed as having been born right there in the state, and then there was a different place of birth indicated on that document for the rest of the members of the household. And this was household after household after household. And he had noted that the index had mentioned that everyone, all the children, wife and children, in every household was born in Nova Scotia. And he thought it was an odd kind of error that was made. Several of us took a look at that document, and we really realized what had happened when the index was created. It was, truly enough, looking at the document, you see the birthplace of the head of the family as South Carolina. And the subsequent members of the family, wife and children or siblings or however they were listed in terms of their relationship to the head, sure enough, the letters NS were stated. But this is one of those times where it's very important to truly examine, but to analyze, how can this be so? And what did NS really stand for? Well, we did discuss it among ourselves, because clearly it would not have been a situation where every head of house was having all of their children having been born in Nova Scotia, and it just was something that was an oddity. Well, it became clear to us later. Number one, we noticed that the penmanship was different. And it's very important to understand how the census records were actually tabulated. The official records that many of us use, and we look at them on sites from Heritage Quest to Ancestry.com to Footnote to any other resources that we can use to access the federal census. But we don't really realize that we're not always looking at the real form that the census enumerator completed. In many cases, we're looking at a tabulation that was eventually captured on the beautifully bound census volumes. And those are the pages that were microfilmed. The actually handwritten notes and the notations that enumerators made, that's not what we are looking. Going back to our challenge of looking at the document where every wife and every child in every household on that page had NS, well, it became evident as several of us analyzed the document, this was a notation made by the census tabulators, not the enumerator. And what we were seeing was, of course, the fact that probably the census enumerator got the data from the head of the household and left the form blank with everyone else who was listed, who was enumerated on the page. Therefore, when it was time to tabulate the data, the census tabulator wrote not stated or NS. And what has happened in the process was that the index that this particular person was using to find his ancestors, and this is one of those cases where human error can certainly take place, this was a situation where the person creating this index made simply an error in an effort to determine where the letters NS were referring or what they were referring to. The person just came up with simply Nova Scotia, but that was certainly not the case. And it's an interesting lesson in terms of how we examine and how we interpret what we see, but also beyond that, also how it's important to only look at an index as a helper, but understand that there can be errors also in those indexes. Anyway, it was a good lesson. It was a wonderful discussion, and it was a good exercise for all of us, and one of those lessons in terms of examining documents. In fact, it was such an interesting lesson. I may follow up with that with a video about it as well, because it just really was something in terms of requiring all of us to analyze what we look at. And of course, making that analysis in terms of what we're doing, looking at those documents, and really looking at them in the context in which they were created, is very, very important. And all of that helps us to do what we do better. We want to get the information, weigh the evidence, and we want to put it together and present it so we can tell the family story, because that's what we do. Anyway, I realize time has passed already. Wow, it goes so quickly. I want to just hope that you all have a great weekend, a great week. As I said, I'm going to be coming to you next week from Birmingham, Alabama, from Samford University. I'm excited about going, and I'm hoping that I'm going to just to have so many things to talk about next week on the things that I will have learned. You all have a great week. I appreciate you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to me. Anyway, thank you. I do appreciate you, as you know. And I hope that you keep doing what you're doing. Keep researching. Keep documenting. And please keep sharing what you find. Take care, everybody. Have a good week. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.